systems we are redeemed from, systems we are set free from. Let's do a summary of them. Redeemed from, number one, sin and its penalties. Is that right? Redeemed from sin and its what? Penalties. Number two, redeemed from death and hell. Number three, redeemed from the kingdom of Satan. Preserved in the kingdom of Jesus. Number four, redeemed from sickness and disease. Number five, redeemed from curses and failure. Number six, redeemed from mindset of darkness. Let's go through that again. Number one, redeemed from sin and penalties of sin, and now preserved in Christ. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Redeemed from death and hell, and preserved in Christ, because he said, I've come that you have life and have it more abundantly. Then redeemed from kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of Jesus, preserved in that kingdom. Redeemed from sickness and disease. Redeemed from curses and failures. Redeemed from mindset of darkness. I want us to go through it again. Let's go. Number one, can anybody quickly, are you writing it? Can you show it up here, if it's possible? You are still typing it. I need these lights up here. Please, Tope, can you put them up? You are typing it because the Lord told me, he said, even if you get them to know this, he said, that's wonderful. He told me, say, focus on this one. I'm not kidding. He said, if you focus on this one, if they really get this one. So we're going to do exactly what he told me. He said, when you go there, say, summarize it and let them go through it again. Number one, number two, number three, number four, number five, number six. Before you go to how to work it out. If we don't get to how to work it out, we'll continue on Sunday. How to work it out, how to make it work for you. So, number what are you? Okay, let's try. Let's be going. Number one is redeemed from sin and its penalties. Number two, redeemed from death and hell. Number three, redeemed from the kingdom of Satan. Preserved where? In the kingdom of his dear son. Number four, redeemed from sickness and diseases. Because Jesus bore it, so I don't bear it again. He became a curse for me, so I can't be a curse again. Then curses and failures. Then redeemed from mindset of darkness. So let's go through it again. Number one, sin and its penalties. Number two, death and hell. Number three, kingdom of Satan. Number four, sickness and diseases. Number five, curses and failures. Number six, mindset of darkness. Number one, okay, let's try now. Okay, this side, number one is what? Number two is what? Death, and number three is what? Power of Satan. Number four is what? Sicknesses. Number five is what? Causes and failure. And number six is mindset of darkness. So you will never accept in this your life that your mind is dark. You have the ability. You have the God-given blessing of ability. Your mind is different from the mind of the heathen. When you go among them, understand that and expect it to work. Amen? So let's go through it. Number one. No, let's reverse it. Yeah, you give us number one. Louder, number one, you give us number one. Sin and its consequences, you give us number two. Death and, okay, give us number three. Number three is kingdom of darkness. Number four is sicknesses and diseases. Number five, causes, failures. Number six, mindset of darkness. Okay, I want us to go through it again. Number one, I want us to be so familiar with this that you rattle it, no thinking. Because you have to study this when you go home. I want you to study it. I want you to go through it. I want you to really, really, really have it in your heart. Number one, redeemed from power of sin and its penalties. Number two, death and hell. Number three, kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of God. Number four, sickness and diseases. Number five, causes and failure. Number six, the mindset of darkness. Okay, let's go through it again. Redeemed from number one. Go ahead, continue. Go ahead, continue. 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 Okay, now start and say, I am, put yourself, and now go through this for yourself. Now let's go, come on. I am redeemed from, Do you know there was a brother that got saved? Then, I was not a pastor, but he'll come to my house. He would tell me, he said, I want you to teach me the word. He said, because every time you're talking, he said, I get something. He said, he would bring his his brothers every day after work. Ask her. He will come. I was a pastor, but where he was working, I want to show you that you have this mindset that is not that of the heathen. Because the brother began to grow. So while he was walking, he told me that every single time they have meeting, everybody's waiting for him to say something. He said, every time I said anything, it was so different. He said, finally, the Alhajis and all these people started to come to me for their personal issues. They will even drive to my home to come and discuss their personal issues with me. He said, including the permanent secretary. He said, at a point, and I requested that I wanted to build a church. You know, the local airport in Lagos? There's local airport now. That's international, there's local. There's a church there. It was that boy that built it. He said, I told him I'm going to build a church. He said, we came to the meeting, and all these Muslims agreed. We built a church, employed a pastor, paid by government. He said, we'll go there and pray in the morning, pray in the afternoon. He said, can you believe that? He said, because they were so mesmerized. They were so impressed that they so believed in me. Let me tell you, what God has deposited in you is incredible. It blows the human. You can't even begin to understand the power that works in you. That power, nothing. He said, I'll give you wisdom your enemies cannot stand. They can't stand it. That's what I'm convincing you this evening that you have. You have. I say you have. The Bible said the whole world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. They are waiting for you to come in and say something. They are waiting. When they have family meeting, they are waiting for you. The whole world is waiting for us because we have something they don't have. When we say something, the source is from that anointing. But because we don't know it, we don't employ it, it's there. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Church, I said, praise the Lord. My own brother sent me text. He said, brother, I don't know where you get the wisdom. He said, each time you talk, he said, I don't know. He said, in the next world, I'm begging God that I'll be your brother. I think I showed it to a couple of people. He said, God will make me your brother. He said, he said, brother, I have no idea why you get this wisdom. He said, it's something else. I said, I don't have that wisdom, but Christ in me is the hope of glory. So let's go through our list again. I'm redeemed from what? Power of sin and is redeemed from what? Death and hell. Redeemed from what? Kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of God. Redeemed from what? Sickness and disease. Redeemed from what? Causes and failures. Redeemed from what? The mindset of darkness. Now, for you to work out these things, you need two things. You need the Holy Spirit. You need the Word of God. You need the Holy Spirit. You need the Word of God. I will give you about three things. There are five things, but I'm not giving you the five this evening. I'll give you about two or three. Tomorrow we'll continue from there. I don't know if I got through tonight. Did you get anything? Yes. Now, you need the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. What did I say you need? The Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Because you need the ministry of the Holy Spirit to make this world work for you. You need the ministry of the Holy Spirit to make this world work for you. And so, the things that you need to do is this. Let me tell you the five things that I deal with, maybe one or two in details, and I'm done. Then, the Holy Spirit and the Word, then you need to study diligently the Word of God and pay attention to the Word. That's number one. Number two, you need to approach the Word with great reverence and respect. You need to. That's why many Christians don't get any revelation. They have no respect for the Word of God. You need to approach the Word with great reverence and respect as you will respect God himself. Number three, you need to meditate on it instead of what the devil is giving you and other things that the devil is using to challenge the truth. You need to meditate on the Word of God day and night. Number three, you need to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to teach you his Word. And number six, you need to be consistent and diligent in pursuit of the truth. Six things. Number one, you need to study the Word diligently. You need to study diligently and pay attention to the Word of God. Number two, you need to approach the Word of God with great reverence and respect as God himself, for the Word is God. You know, my first pastor, Kumuyi, said something. That's what I said. Sometimes when your pastor says something, if you don't understand it, keep growing. He used to tell us that he will read the Bible on his knees. I was wondering, I said, why must you read and read the Bible? He said, when I read it, I kneel down. I said, I'm not going to kneel down and read the Bible. I can't. I'm not saying you must read down, no. I'm not saying you must kneel down. No, no, that's not what I'm saying, no. I don't even kneel down to read the Bible myself. But I saw what he was conveying is that he had this reverence for this Word that he goes on his knees. He was conveying his attitude to the Word, not basically, you know. I didn't get it. I didn't get it. So, John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you, where? Into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He will glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it to you. He will guide you into all the truth. So where is the truth? Where is the truth? In Christ Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the truth. So the Holy Spirit will guide you into all the truth, because that's where all your blessings are. That's why he's taking you. Okay, Ephesians 4:21. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus Christ. So the Holy Spirit will focus you on Jesus Christ, will focus you on the gospel. will focus you on what Christ has done. Because that's what changed your life. That's what sent you free. That's what preserved you. That's what empowers you. That is what changes you completely. Everything Jesus has done. So he will teach you the truth that is in Christ Jesus. And so knowing with this background, therefore now, we need to now give attention. Number one, give attention to the word of God. You need to make time for it. Study it personally and in church. Listen to teachers. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study. This is the one I'll give you, and then on Sunday I'll continue. I'll finish with this last point. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This scripture is loaded. He said, we must study to show ourselves approved of God, and that we should be workmen that should not be defeated, we should not be ashamed, and we must rightly divide the word of God. So, the one thing that is needed is to study the scripture and have proper interpretation by the Holy Spirit for you. To have the Holy Spirit give you the proper and the right interpretation for you. Now, if you don't study the word of God, I want to ask a question. What will the Holy Spirit interpret for you? Nothing. If you don't eat, if I have rice here and empty plate here, if you don't eat this rice, there is nothing your body will digest. Church, I am telling you why Christians, they talk about these things and it doesn't work for them. If you don't eat the word, there is nothing the Holy Spirit is breaking down for you. Nothing. We call it the food of the Spirit. If you don't, you are starving yourself. And there is nothing the Spirit of God has to give you revelation. Nothing. So you see why studying it is not for Pastor Chinedu. It's for you. So that the Holy Spirit will have food in yourself to reveal to you, to work for within you. So you see why studying the scripture is not a religious thing. You are giving the Holy Spirit something, a tool to use to develop your faith, to reveal to you the truth that will set you free. But when you don't study it, tell me what he will reveal to you. That's why many Christians are empty. He says, study so you should not be ashamed. Rightly dividing it. That's why people are not rightly dividing it. And I do know, it's unbelievable what's happening. So, you cannot be saved except you hear the good news of the gospel. Is that correct? Church, is that correct? Yes, because it has that good news of the gospel that the Spirit of God will break down for you. And then you believe it. Faith comes by hearing. So, you first of all have to take it in. And the same way, you cannot be saved except you hear the good news of the gospel. Let me calm down. You cannot be healed except you hear the gospel of salvation on healing. On healing. On healing. On healing. On healing. You can't prosper unless you hear the word on prosperity. You're not going to prosper unless you take in the word on prosperity. You're not going to walk in freedom from Satan unless you begin to take in the word of freedom. You can't be saved unless you hear the gospel. You can't be healed unless you hear the word that reveals healing to you. And you have the responsibility to eat that word that reveals healing to you. Not me. You do it for yourself. I'm telling you. So when we tell Christians, study your scriptures, come for Bible studies, go to life, they think it's a religious thing. You're just blocking yourself. You're just cheating yourself. Because the very thing the Spirit of God will use to break it down for you, so faith will come to you, rhema will come to you, and you rise and pull up your shield of faith. It's not there. It's not there. And then the devil comes to deceive you. Romans 10:14. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard? How can you believe healing unless you hear? How can you believe freedom unless you hear? How can you? And how can they hear about him unless someone, that's why you have teachers in the church, that the Holy Spirit walks through that ministry to tell you, break it down for you. Let me read it again. Romans 10:14. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone now tells them? How can they hear about healing, deliverances, redeemed from curse, unless they are taught these things? But the devil convinced them you don't have to be taught. Because he knows that if he keeps you ignorant, he has you where he wants you. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. And one more thing I should tell you before I stop is that another reason you need to study the scripture is to make sure that you rightly divide this word. Jesus warned us in Matthew 6:22. Matthew 6 what? Your eye is a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is good, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is bad, your whole body is filled with what? Darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness? If what you know is not the truth, but you think it's the truth, he said it is darkness. He said how dark that thing is. That's why you need the Holy Spirit to break it down for you. Because sometimes we believe a lie of the devil and think it's the truth. First Timothy 4:16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Be careful. Continue in them. Study continuously in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Can you put this in New Living Translation? Keep a close watch on how you live and how and on your teaching. Stay true to what is right for the sake of your own salvation and the salvation of those who hear you. Keep a close watch on how you live and on your teaching. Stay true to what is right. Right teaching. Right doctrine. Right doctrine. Right doctrine. Can you put New King James Version? Take heed to yourself and the doctrine, and to the doctrine. Doctrine is what you're supposed to believe. Continue in them. You must continue. You must, it's a continued something. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear. Many Christians don't continue. They don't have time. They don't do, they don't continue. They read it while the next time they read it, maybe Wednesday, they're on Sunday. And Bible study, they come today, they get disconnected in the trend of teaching God is giving. The next time you see them, there's no connection from the last time they came and the series that God has been teaching. They just think they are smart. Church, I'm telling you absolute truth. They think they are smart. But the devil has already deceived them. Because the Holy Spirit says, continue. Continue, 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 continue. Brethren, you pay the price. Continue. Continue. Praise the Lord. Come on, church. I said, praise the Lord. Didn't Jesus tell us that Mary chose the one thing that is what? Needful in this life. Continue. Everybody say, continue. I didn't hear you. Come on, shout it. Continue. Continue. Continue in doing so. If you continue in doing so, you will not save yourself, because you are going to hear the gospel about healing, gospel about salvation from curses and faith. You continue until the thing takes root into you and begins to bear fruit. One time doesn't do it. Two times doesn't do it. Four times doesn't do it. You continue. It's a continuous, so diligently follow it. And you meditate on it day and night. You continue. It's a battle. Because the devil will bring you imaginations and thoughts of his own to fight you back. He will try to challenge you. Immediately the word of God comes, the Bible says persecution comes because of the word. He will try to raise a challenge to tell you this is false, it doesn't work. He's going to try to kick it out. The Bible says he will steal it. Birds of the air will steal it. He wants to steal it because he knows that everything depends on that word. He knows what that word can do. He will fight tooth and nail to steal it, abort it, erase it, confuse you, tell you it doesn't work. This thing is, look at your life. Look at what is happening. And they told you this, and they told you all that. God says, continue. Can you shout with me, continue? I want to hear you louder. Continue. I want to hear you louder. Continue. Why did he say continue? There's challenge. The enemy challenges. He creates everything goes south. Immediately. Why is he doing that? He wants you not to believe this thing. Because you can only see the glory in it when you believe. But he doesn't want you to see. You continue. You continue. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Finally, we must have a reverential attitude towards the word of God. If you don't, you won't have revelation. We must treat the word of God with respect. Do you know what the Muslims do? They respect the Quran so much, they kiss it. That's why anything the Quran tells them, they do it. If you dare touch the Quran, they kill you. They will go up. There was somewhere, a house burnt. They were looking for the Quran. The minute they found the Quran, if you see how they carried it, so I was watching it, the series, carried it out. They were like, oh. We must have reverence for the word of God. I'm sorry, but Pentecostals have no reverence for the word, neither for God. You don't. That reverence must come back. I said the reverence must what? Look, listen to me, brethren. If God is God and God is the word, how much reverence should I give to that word? How much respect should I give to that word? If I approach that word, shouldn't I approach it with serious reverence that this is God's voice? This is Almighty. This is his word. Shouldn't I approach it? My pastor said, well, I kneel down to the word. I didn't get it. But when I was preparing this, it clicked to me. I said, that's what he was conveying. And no wonder God used that man incredibly. He was conveying that when I get to that word, I bow before that word. Because God exalted his word above his name. Above his name. And that's why when you tell a Pentecostal member that God says so, says, I don't care. I don't want to know. Our culture says so. My family does that like that, like that. But God said this, Pastor, I know, but you know, you don't know where I come from. What, how much reverence is that for the word of God? We have the audacity to say things like that. And we do it. And we wonder why it's not working. What you don't respect will not work for you. Wonder why it's not working. You call a pastor, your pastor calls you, sits you down, and say, this is what the scripture says. You get angry at your pastor. Angry at your pastor? What? And he's pointing to you the word that God wrote. All these things have consequences. Because God says, I honor those who honor me. Now you are in trouble. Now the same word you are insulting, you want, it won't work for you, nothing. It's not going to work. The Bible says, ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth because they have no respect for that one. I'm telling you the truth. Humility pays great dividend. God says, the proud, I will resist them every day of their life. Look at Isaiah 66, verse 2. Isaiah 66, verse 2. For all those things had my hand made, and those things have been, said the Lord, but to this man will I look. To this man, church, to this man will I look. Which man? Even to him that is what? Poor and of contrite spirit, a humble person, and trembleth at my word. My prayer is that Pentecostals should go back to honoring God. We should go back to honoring God. It's robbing us of blessings. We are trampling upon the word. The very word that God says, you live by it. We don't even do it. Don't honor it. God gave me this message. He said, I want you to write it down. And when I finished, he said, put down that thing. That's, he said, how can I bring my word and you bring your culture to trump my word? And you say, I'm God? Jesus said, if you call me Lord, Lord, why don't you do what I told you? James 1:21. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly. And how? I didn't hear you. Come on. I said I didn't hear you. Humbly accept the word God has planted in your heart. For that word has the power to save your soul, save your life, heal your body, provide for you. It has the power. Psalm 50 said, because you hate instruction, he said, why should you carry my word in your mouth? Why? You hate instruction. You don't honor my word. You don't respect my word. I am also guilty, as you are guilty. We're in the same boat. I was writing this and I was talking to myself. I said, when I get there, I'm going to confess my sin before everybody, that all of us are in this together. I'm not better than you. But we're in the same thing together now to change for something better. Can I hear amen? You have nothing to lose. He said, humbly accept the word of God. Humbly. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God so that God can lift you up in due time. The scripture was not given to us to fulfill all righteousness. This is where I'm stopping. I want us to bow our heads and think. This is a sober moment.